Good morning. Thankful for the sunshine. So you may have noticed that we've got a beautiful tray of treats out there, compliments of Carrie and Summer. So yeah, she was so thoughtful. She even put like the gluten-free allergy tray. Like she's got it all. So maybe we'll rope her in for that again. I don't know. Or maybe some of you will be inspired and want to take on next week. Okay, so Deborah is going to speak with us later today, and we'll just open up in prayer and prepare our hearts for worship. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you for all of these beautiful faces here this morning, and thank you for the sunshine and the birds that are chirping and singing, Lord. What a reminder it is of your blessings and just to be joyful and rejuvenated with energy, Lord. And coming to worship you this morning is the best way to let out all of that energy and joyful spirit in our hearts. And Lord, we just thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, let's stand to our feet.
And it all comes down to this. What do you require of me? Love my neighbor as myself. And you above all things, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with you, God, in all ways, walk humbly with you, God, and it all comes down to this. To be your hands and feet. Good news to all the world. The truth will set us free. Act justly, love mercy. Walk humbly with you, God. In all things, in all ways, walk humbly. With you, God, it's beauty for ashes this morning to dancing. Closer and closer, the kingdom of heaven's beauty for ashes this morning to dancing. Closer and closer, the kingdom of heaven. And years from now we'll see the fruit our hands have sown. Faith just like a seed, the only way it grows.
Let's sing this out.
Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with you, God, in all things, in all ways, walk humbly with you, God.
Sing it again.
Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with you, God, in all things, in all ways, walk humbly with you, God. And this beauty for ashes this morning to dancing is closer and closer, the kingdom of heaven. It's beauty for ashes this morning to dancing. It's closer and closer, the kingdom of heaven. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. There's no one like you, God. Your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms made way for spring. In every season, from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. All over my life, I see your promises in fulfillment. All over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I'm weak. Fear may come, but fear will leave. You lead my heart to victory. You are my strength, and you always will be. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. See the cross, see the cross, the empty grave. The evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. See the cross, the empty grave. The evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. Oh, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Oh, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment. Why should I fear? And why should I fear? The evidence is here. And why should I fear? Oh, the evidence. is here.
And Lord, it's true, God. We have all the evidence we need to trust in you, God. To put our faith in you, Lord. To find our hope in you. And to worship you, God. We give you all our praise, all our worship. We give you all the honor this morning. And we just ask that you be at the center of everything that happens now, God. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Why don't you guys find someone you haven't said hi to yet? Give them a hug.
Good morning, ladies. So nice to see you. God has been so good to us today, shining his light down into our world that's so full of darkness. We need that sunlight today, don't we? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for giving us this day, full of your mercy, full of your grace. We see the goodness in our lives from you. All over the place. I pray that you would use my words for your honor and glory. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So nice to see you. I just love that joyful sound of the greeting that we give one another every morning. So nice. So last week we examined Peter's words on submission within marriage. One verse for men, 6 verses for women. So to summarize, we are to adjust ourselves in order to fulfill the fruitful partnership in marriage that honors God. This week we will look at godliness in the world and the picture it presents to the unbeliever. What is your greatest fear that you face? Death? Taxes? Sharing the gospel? That can be kind of fearful. In 1967, my greatest fear was fulfilled. I became pregnant at the age of 17. I suffered humility, rejection, loneliness, and despair. I was taken out of school. I was in my last year of high school. My parents arranged for me to live with my aunt and uncle in British Columbia, 2,000 miles from where I lived in Toronto. I stayed there until the baby was born. Then he would be adopted into a Christian family and raised by a loving couple that was yearning for a child of their own. It turned into a huge blessing for me. I knew that my child would be loved and treasured and would be established in a home where Jesus lived. The time of dread turned into a time of blessing. Living with a family who offered me love and nurturing, I have wonderful memories of my aunt and uncle who, through Jesus, showed me acceptance, kindness, and love. And they reflected the love of Jesus into my young life. I wasn't a believer then. Can you think of a time in your life when fear turned into a blessing, despite your suffering? Before we begin today's lesson, let's review last week's scripture, especially the last 4 verses from 8 to 12, because it gives us a measuring stick of we as Christians and what we should look like, especially if we're going to go out into the world and be witnesses to Jesus. First of all, it calls to live in unity, a like-minded purpose. Think of this when you come together in your group. Think of how these attributes affect all of you and your relationship to one another. It strengthens us. A mutual interest, being sympathetic to one another. Friendship, or true brotherly love. True compassion, kind-hearted to one another. A spirit of humility, putting others before yourself. A forgiving nature, be ready to make amends to one another. A controlled tongue, that's a hard one. Life of purity, turning from evil and doing good, and a peaceful disposition, seeking peace and pursuing it. These qualities are what we strive for, being in the family of God. It's what outsiders notice in us when we go through hardships and how we relate to one another that would cause them to want the same way of life that we have. It's a real thing. The characteristics are also highlighted in the chinks of our own spiritual flaws. We are not perfect, but consistently rely on the grace of God we receive through our belief in Jesus. So let's begin our scriptures this morning. And we're in 1 Peter 3, verse 13. So if you have a Bible, we are studying the Bible. Bring it out and let's read. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. How should a believer respond to suffering for doing good? Because we call ourselves Christians who follow the example of Jesus, worldviews often conflict with Christian views. Our idea of what songs to listen to, movies to watch, or family values we practice at home, or how we spend our time and money on entertainment may conflict with how the world sees entertainment or even joy in suffering. Our convictions of right living seem baffling to the person who lacks faith. This is suffering for what is right. Our idea of goodness often conflicts with worldviews. Did anybody watch the Grammys this year? I receive a Christian newsletter, and I didn't watch the Grammys either because they've just kind of gone downhill. But the song, this program was watched by 12 million viewers across America. So the song that won the two highest awards was a performance of the satanic worship song called Unholy, which won the top two awards, and the two performers admitted the song was meant to be provocative and aimed at Christians in the audience, and that includes the audience across America for anybody that watched it. Immediately, people took to Twitter and expressed outrage at the song as being offensive, vile, blasphemous, and pure trash. The Grammy's biggest sponsor was Pfizer, the drug company. American companies that once represented American values now think that anything goes. The more perverse, the better. At the same time, many of you heard about the Asbury College in Kentucky revival, where students attracted international attention for unplanned revival that drew great crowds of worship among young students for weeks on end. Also, last month, the movie The Jesus Revolution came out and hit record sales and now is offered in all the theaters, and amazing success. So there's God working, even against the satanic powers of this world. We are reminded through this to be zealous for what is good, even if that brings persecution. What is our response to unfair treatment? So let's read verses 15 through 17. This is our response. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. We are called to be set apart for Christ and always be prepared to give an answer for anyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. We are to be considered blessed by God. He is refining us by various trials. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's us. We are to refrain from panic or worry and draw near to Christ, who is the source of our comfort. We are to acknowledge Christ as Lord and sanctify Christ as Lord. And we're to be ready to make a defense. We are to be ready. Are you ready to make a defense for the hope that we have in Christ? We are to keep a good conscience, and that was mentioned twice in this passage. Consistency, integrity, with gentleness and respect. So for 18 years, I went to an institution called Villa Valencia. It's a retirement community, but they have a wing off to the side for people that have been through surgery or have fallen, and there are about 18 homes or 18 rooms in this wing that help people recover. And so through this church, I took a group of people once or twice a month to go visiting in the rooms. And it was really a blessing. The people that are in those rooms are lonely and discouraged, and they want to share their story. So it was a wonderful time for me to go and listen to them, hear their stories. Sometimes I shared my story too, and I would often share my stories of before I was a Christian. And it was just very much appreciated. But I also went in there with flowers and chocolates and sometimes some passages of scripture to share. But sometimes we would find rejection. And so that was discouraging, but I never felt anything more than joy when I left the building, because I knew that I had made a difference in those people. I knew that I had planted seeds of hope for them, even if they felt rejected, or even if I felt rejected and they rejected me. I still left with the feeling that I was doing God's work and that it was an encouragement to me and an encouragement to them. Who knows what I left with them that gave them hope? My compassion for the elderly was inspired by my lovely mother. She always hoped that someday of their 65-year marriage, my father might show her the love she craved from him. She was rejected, belittled, and shamed by my father. She didn't really show it, and I wasn't all that aware of it until after I started reading her journals after she passed away. I found some, and I brought them home, and I started reading them. And all she wanted was to be loved by him. But at times, he was just very cruel to her. She stayed married to him for all those years. The last day of her life, I was able to personally hold her close as she went to be with Jesus, her real bridegroom. Her love for Jesus never wavered, and it carried her through difficult years of unfulfilled love she never had with my father. I am her firstborn. She spent the last minute of her life holding my hand, unafraid to see death. It was a privilege to surround her with the love that she had poured out over my life. It remains one of the best memories that I have. Now she is resting in the arms of Jesus. Look for daily opportunities to show kindness and love and do good deeds. Ask God, and he will deliver. Come on in. Let's read verses 18 through 22. These verses were a lot more challenging to read through. And I did a lot of research on it. It was like putting a puzzle together, pieces of a puzzle. And yet, they don't always fit perfectly. But that's the Bible, right? The Bible doesn't always fit for us, but we have to believe what it says in there. So let's go ahead with verse 18. For Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit, through whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In only a few people, eight in all were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you. Also, not the removal of dirt from your body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. That's, again, this clear conscience. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. So Christ is our example of suffering. He paid the price. He paid it all. He was put to death in the body on Good Friday. Christ is the ultimate example of suffering for doing what is right. He was the only perfect person who ever lived and took on sins of the entire world. He suffered for what is right, but those who did it to him will bear the ultimate shame of making the ultimate mistake. Whenever you are upset that you are suffering unfairly, remember that Christ has already suffered much worse for you when he didn't deserve it. I think we should all read Isaiah 53 again and really feel what Christ did as he suffered for us. Number two, we were made alive in the spirit. In the spirit. Although his body was dead, his spirit wasn't. Jesus' spirit lived on. 3 days later, his spirit possessed another body when he rose again from the dead. In between this time and on Saturday, Jesus visited the bound demons in the abyss to proclaim his victory to them. God allows most demons to wander the earth and tempt people. They exist in our present day just as they did during the days of Christ and the Old Testament days. In the days of Noah, however, some demons committed such terrible evil that it was messing up God's natural order. They went even beyond the limits God imposed on them. And notice that in the book of Job, God does impose limits on Satan. As a result, God decided to bind these demons in the abyss prior to the end judgment, when the remainder will be thrown into hell permanently. In Genesis 6, these demons lusted after human women and had relations with them, giving birth to unnatural giants such as Goliath. It could have been this group of demons that Jesus visited in between his death and his resurrection. He visited them to announce his victory over Satan and all evil. What can we learn from this? Although this world looks dismal and hopeless at times, we must remember that God is always in control and even imposes limits on Satan and his demons. And the use of prayer is powerful against these demons. Jesus is our victory. Because Jesus is the victory, all his enemies will be punished for eternity in the lake of fire. Satan and demons are very real. We must be alert and wary to escape from temptation and pray for God's help to face the evils in this world and conquer it. So I'm going to give you some scriptures that I found that helped me to understand what these verses meant as far as visiting the demons. Matthew 27:52-53. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and to appear to many. In our next study in 2 Peter, verse 2, 4, and 5, for God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. He did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but God protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and the seven other members of his family. From Luke 16:19, in this passage, Jesus tells a story about a rich man who lives in luxury and a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, who wouldn't eat the scraps from the rich man's table. Lazarus died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Lazarus far away in Abraham's bosom. Abraham called out, "Between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here cannot, nor can anyone cross over from here." So that was the vision of hell, where there were actually two places holding people, and that was before Jesus' resurrection. Also in Luke 23:43, when Jesus hung on the cross, the thief turned to Jesus and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." These verses are baffling to many commentators, and our discussion question today in the homework reflects that there may be many interpretations. I've decided to offer you a few keys of scripture to explore so you can decide for yourself. God waited patiently in the dark days of Noah while the ark was being built. Only 8 people were saved before the great flood covered the earth. God saw how evil the earth had become and offered escape and rescue to those who would repent of their evil. All but 8 turned their backs on God. By water, the ark carried Noah's family to safety, saving those obedient souls who would have otherwise perished in the flood of God's wrath. By faith, baptism is a symbol of putting our faith in the ark of Jesus Christ, who redeems us from our sins when we place our faith in him. Baptism is a pledge of good conscience. Verse 21 is yet another reminder that physical water baptism doesn't save us. Only an appeal to God for forgiveness and a washing of our spirit is able to accomplish this. How does your everyday life reflect this? Is the regeneration of our hearts that happens through repentance? It is what Jesus referred to in John 3 as being born again. It is the actual act for which water baptism is a symbol for. So to be clear, the act of baptism is a symbol of our pledge to a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is sitting at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. I'm going to pray our new memory scripture to close, and it's from 1 Peter 5, verses 10 to 11. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be all the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.